the UCR Podcast.
Well, we've reached episode 100 of the podcast, and it is awfully fun to mark that milestone with UCR's Gary Graff. And we are here today. Gary's got his party dress on, which is very scary, but we're here today to talk about the 2026 inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Gary, welcome, sir, and thank you for being here today, man.
I'm kind of worried that this is now almost as old as I am, if we're at the 100th episode.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So for folks who have not heard the lineup, the main class is, in alphabetical order, by the way, Phil Collins, Billy Idol, Iron Maiden, Joy Division in New Order, Oasis, Sade, Luther Vandross, and the Wu-Tang Clan. Some of the other inductees, Queen Latifah and MC Light, among the early influence inductees, along with the late legendary Graham Parsons. The Musical Excellence Award features Linda Creed and a trio of legendary producers from different eras, Arif Martin, Jimmy Miller, and Rick Rubin. You can see a complete rundown of all of the inductees at the UCR website. And as has been the case, especially in recent years, it is a really interesting class of people going in for 2026. And Gary, my wife Annie made the comment that in the case of Iron Maiden, I feel like, and you know this is correct as well, Tom Morello has had his speech ready for years. So just before we even get started, if they need somebody to do the honors to induct Maiden, I think we can easily put money that Tom is ready and happy to do that, right?
He certainly would be, although I'm sure Rob Halford would throw his studded hat into the ring for something like that. Any number of young, you know, the Rock Hall seems to like to have the next generation do the presentation. So Morello would certainly fit there, but there's any number of other, you know, Metallica, you know, was up there championing Iron Maiden even before Morello got super involved in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So yeah, you'll have a lot of, I almost envision an Aussie-like presentation to honor Iron Maiden. And partly because, and it took me a minute to realize that, I'm likely to be there. It is an off day from the tour, but it's an off day in Australia.
Yeah.
The show is in Los Angeles. Is it doable? Yeah, especially if Bruce Dickinson's flying your plane. But, you know, it's certainly unlikely.
Yeah, I think they're kind of foreshadowing a little bit. As you say, the inductions are happening in Los Angeles again this year, November 14th at the Peacock Theater. Maiden has shared the following statement. It should be noted that Iron Maiden will be on tour in Australia while the ceremony takes place, with a show scheduled for the night before November 13th in Melbourne and one for the night after November 15th in Sydney. But yeah, Annie said that and you said it. There is kind of a loophole where could they pull it off? Hypothetically, they could pull it off. And, you know, Gary, what was cool was they obviously have said a lot of things, particularly Bruce Dickinson over the years about the hall, and they were very appreciative when it came to accepting the induction. And it's a good time for Maiden. Gary, I know that you had a good chat with guitarist Adrian Smith recently about the band's upcoming documentary, Burning Ambition. So they have, as always with the world of Iron Maiden, they have cool stuff going on.
Oh, they do. You know, and they've really, this is a band that to me has really had a renaissance. There was a minute there where Iron Maiden was, you know, kind of a heavy metal also ran, except for the ardent fans. And we all knew, you know, what a great band this was. But, you know, they had the same issues that a lot of metal bands had. But now, you know, I think they are widely accepted as the icons that they are. So, and this is a good time. They've been touring pretty regularly for the last, like, couple of decades. You know, and they've been out there. They've made some records. They've just been visible, and they seem to like being Iron Maiden even more than they ever have. So I think it's nice when a band gets it when they're at that point in their career, and you have the Rock Hall is honoring some of the past members, some of the late members. So it really will be a celebration of this band's heritage and legacy. You know, and you get the sense from the band that they're isn't a lot of rancor in their ranks, you know, whereas, you know, Judas Priest, you had some issues, you know, that they smoothed over, but there still were issues that night. And I think this will be a lot more like the Metallica induction, where it was one happy family hugging it out on stage together.
Yeah,
even if Iron Maiden isn't on stage, I bet they'll do a video or satellite thing from Australia. If they don't try to do the crazy milk run,
or they might send Eddie, they might send Ed Hunter. We'll have to wait and see. I guess
they should send an Ed or two or three or 10. And Nico, you know, Nico's around. He's retired.
That's true.
He's in Florida. So it's a closer trip for him.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. When it comes to this year's inductees, for you, who is the most surprising inductee?
I think Sade. Just didn't, you know, especially since she/they, because people tend to forget that's a band. It's not just her. I mean, it is a band. They write together, they produce together. And I just felt like, you know, she/they had been out of the collective consciousness for so long, and compared to a lot of the other nominees, really have, you know, really didn't produce the large body of work that you tend to think of for a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. So that surprised me. Not to mention that they are the quote unquote softest of this class.
I guess so. I mean, because yeah, I think that's right. Even compared to Luther Vandross, but yeah. I think you're right about that. For the second time in a row, the winner of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan vote was not inducted. R&B Superstars New Edition earned over 1 million votes this year, but got passed over. Similarly to what happened with last year with Phish, of course, they won the fan vote. Lots and lots of votes, but were not inducted, weren't even nominated this year. Right. 8 other 2026 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees were not inducted. Pink, Shakira, NXS, which I was super bummed about that one.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, Lauryn Hill, Melissa Etheridge. Melissa's a rocker like us. I was hoping she would get in. The Black Crowes and Jeff Buckley. For you, most surprising exclusion.
The two-part answer to this. Most surprising exclusion is Jeff Buckley, just because I think, you know, there is such a the rock and roll cognoscenti, the pop culture cognoscenti. Love this guy so much, and he's so iconic, and you did have the documentary and everything, so it seemed like there was a lot going in his favor. And on the other hand, there were the Black Crowes, who a second time nominee, which worked very well for Billy Idol. And I felt like with their new album, with their last album having gotten a Grammy nomination, with the new album out, them on the road, it kind of, you know, and they took part in the concert, the Los Angeles, the Fire concerts. Yeah, I really felt like this was, you know, it was their time, but apparently not.
I guess we'll see. I feel like it's almost like third time could be the charm for Black Crowes. I really think they're going to get in. Honestly was a little bit surprised that Billy Idol got in over NXS. I don't know. I thought it could go neck and neck, but perhaps the documentary helped push things over the top for Billy. So I was a little bit surprised at how that particular thing shook out, but I tend to agree with you. I think that we'll see the Crowes get in eventually.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Crowes, and I'm ruining not having put money on Billy Idol with one of my editors at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, because I put them on my on my prediction, you know, who do we think is going to get in? And he was like, no way. So I should have put a Finsky on that one and been a winner.
Well, speaking of exclusions, you pointed this out. It's very surprising to learn that the ceremony will not be broadcast live this year, as they've been doing in years past. The Rock Hall, for folks listening to this, said they are going to broadcast it on ABC and Disney Plus at a later date. So I guess this hypothetically means that Gary Graff might have to get on a plane to Los Angeles, but I guess we'll see how that shakes out.
Are we sending the UCR company jet to take me there?
I know you like to travel a little bit more prestigious than my car, so I checked with Wilkening. He said the company jet is probably available that evening. You know that we kind of have to keep tabs on him, but I feel like we can probably make that shake out.
Isn't it great that he's on vacation and we can ascribe all these things to him? You know, not only did he
absolutely,
say
yeah, he's only, never going to know.
Not only is it the company jet, but I believe the accommodations are going to be deluxe too. And he must have said that.
Yeah, he said that it would be fine for us to expense all of it. Very gracious of him to let us do that. So thank you, Matthew Wilkening. Yeah. Well, who are you most glad is getting in?
I'm really glad about Billy Idol. I mean, I am.
Yeah.
And because it means so much to him. You know, I spoke with him yesterday, and it means a lot to him.
Yeah.
He was telling me how he was getting emotional telling Steve Stevens about it. And, you know, I'm really happy that's, you know, for him and for his family, that he's just going to enjoy the hell out of being that. I'm happy for Iron Maiden because it's past time. So it's good they're getting. I'm happy Phil Collins is getting to see this, you know, and getting to see this regard because of all his health problems. And I can't imagine he's going to be there with everything we've heard about them, and even his brief statement, you know, talking about being at the end of his musical life and everything. You know, so I'm glad he's getting to see that, and I'm happy for us, for Oasis being in there, because it is going to be, the whole thing with them anyway is such a great show, no matter what happens. And I love the Liam saying, and I forget whether it was last year or 2 years ago, he basically said, you know, we're gonna say it's bollocks till we get in, and then it's the best thing ever.
How great was his statement this morning? He's been, of course, lovely on, you know, X, formerly known as Twitter. For folks who didn't see it, he has been very active today. My wife and also Allison, who works with us at UCR, the two of them like to say that you can always tell the joke is when somebody has taken his iPhone away or taken his iPad away. So I kind of like that. So if we use that that kind of like visual, he definitely has his iPhone. He definitely has his iPad. He's been very active. But one of the things he posted was, he said, I want to thank all the people who voted for us. It's a real honor. Ever since I was a little kid, singing in the shower, I'd dreamed about one day being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's true what they say. Anything is possible if you have a dream. And this is different than where I thought you were going with that when you started talking about Oasis, because the thing that's going to be very entertaining is that, of course, because it's Liam and to a certain extent Noel, we're going to get some great headlines and quotes here in the months leading up to the ceremony. It's going to be fun to see what these guys say about it leading up to things.
Yeah, or it might be a Jack White situation where they remain relatively quiet, show up,
do the
gig. I would imagine they'll play, and I will predict here and now they will announce their 2027 tour dates somewhere in conjunction with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, my whole thing with the Gallagher brothers has been during that whole time away, if you went over to Mrs. Gallagher's for Sunday lunch, everything was fine. You know, they were killing each other in the press and on social media. But on Sunday afternoon, everyone's together, the nephews, the nieces, the, you know, everything.
Do you think that was true? Do you believe that?
I kind of do. I mean, I like to say it because it's fun to say, but
I like that visual.
I kind of do. And, you know, mom's looking at him and, you know, oh, what did you guys say about each other this week? Okay, you didn't swear, right? Or something like that.
I liked what you said about Phil Collins, though, in his statement, because for me, as a lifelong Genesis and Phil Collins fan, it was super poignant to see that. And he's said a lot of that in recent times. The most recent interview he did within the past year, you know, he said that he's, you know, doing better. He said he's getting around on his own power. So he painted a better picture than what we've seen the past few years. But for fans that have been following Phil and Genesis for a long time, I know that I've heard it, and you have too, even talking to some of their peers, you know, Lee Sklar is somebody that I'm thinking of, for example. It's been very hard for Phil's friends and peers to watch this, just like it has been for fans. So I'm happy that this is happening while he's still here. And, you know, if this is kind of an event or one of the events that puts a good coda on his career, as he kind of put it with his statement, I'm like so many of these folks, I'm glad that he's here to get those flowers. I appreciate it in that regard.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, we all hope he could make it to the ceremony. That would be wonderful. As hard as it is to see him physically now, and you'll remember the Genesis tour, or even his solo tours before that, you know, watching him, the struggle to walk on and off stage, but, you know, hopefully it would be lovely if he gets a chance to be there and enjoy it. You know, you think about all the folks who weren't, you know, the Paul Rodgers and the Mick Jones from Foreigner. And yeah, it's really a shame that they worked to this pinnacle, you know, that, you know, they appreciate it. And if they didn't aspire to it, they certainly embraced it. And, you know, to not be able to be there is a sad thing. I'm also really interested to see how, you know, speaking of Oasis, how it's going to work with Joy Division and New Order. Not a lot of love lost between Peter Hook and his three compatriots. And in fact, I think there's still ongoing litigation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're correct. Last night, Gary, like, you know, Annie was the one that pointed out, like, he had I thought he put out a very clever statement. I didn't notice because his statement was so clever, and some folks might have missed this, but the fact that he didn't thank any of the other folks, you know, in the current, you know, new order side of things. So, right. Man, yeah, that's going to be one to watch. We'll see.
What was telling was, you know, I, like a lot of people, of course, reached out because he works independently and is very good about press. And he backed away from doing anything other than the social media things we've seen, which have been, you know, great, gracious, but slightly barbed. And yeah, I think he's, for the moment, he's trying to play nice and make it a good situation. You know, much like Iron Maiden, like, hey, yeah, we dragged the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame through the mud, but now that you'll have us, we will be gracious about it. And I think that's what he's trying to be. But if anything, if any of the inductees situations have a potential to go pear-shaped, I think it's this one more than Oasis.
I'm very surprised that Iron Maiden, again, or more specifically Bruce Dickinson, are playing ball. I wasn't sure. And we've seen this more and more in recent years, Gary. Certainly, you know, there's been only a few situations over the years, like a Sex Pistols, you know, partially to a point, Guns N' Roses. Obviously, that was split. Van Halen was split. So these things shake out in different ways. But more often than not, as you say, like, you know, whether it's Iron Maiden or Oasis or whoever, these things that are really contentious, ultimately, again, when they get that call, they play nice. But I really was surprised. I was not necessarily predicting that for Iron Maiden.
Right. Well, I kind of figured they would, because they're business, like, in the end, they know what good business is. And keep in mind, the statement they made was attributed to their manager, Rod Smallwood, on behalf of the band. Bruce Dickinson has not said anything yet. You know?
That's a really good point.
So we'll see. One thing we should mention, too, you know, we should definitely take note of quickly, is the Ahmet Erdogan Award this year going to Ed Sullivan, which I think is a really inspiring
choice. Which is super cool. You talked to his daughter.
Yeah, his granddaughter.
I like the fact that she compared him to Colbert today. That was kind of cool to read that.
Yeah, and then we just, you know, the way they did, you know, how they kind of moved the cultural needle forward. Ed Sullivan, of course, with his very open and diverse selection of entertainers and performers he put on the show, and Stephen Colbert by, you know, taking power to task with humor. I mean, in the same building. Which is nice. But, you know, Ed Sullivan is the reason a lot of these people, you know, what did they say, 74 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members performed on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I think if we go down the list of this year's inductees, all of them, the early influence, the musical excellence, and the performers, they all either are familiar with it or watched it. You know, Phil Collins watched it.
Yeah, it was very striking. Somebody put out a press release of, you know, everybody that, you know, performed on Ed Sullivan over the years. And it was unbelievable to read that. Yeah. Well, last couple of things, Gary. First of all, you brought this up and just the idea that, like, as the genres continue to expand, what genres should be added? And I love that. One of the things you mentioned was, you know, fusion, which opened about 1,200 doors in my mind, but, you know, there's lots of bands just in that area of things that I can make a case for, including like Weather Report and so on. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, you know, if we have established the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as what it is, to the point where people like MC Light and Queen Latifah are receiving the Early Influence Award, then Ollie Oxenfree. Okay. Jazz fusion, traditional jazz, EDM, gospel, and there is a little bit of gospel already, you know, that's already been honored by the Hall, but more of it. All these genres are fair game now. And, you know, yeah, jazz and particularly jazz fusion was the one that really stuck out to me. You know, you mentioned Weather Report, Return to Forever, the individuals like Stanley Clarke and Chick Corea and Al Di Meola and, you know, a lot of these people. You know, they probably need merit consideration right now. If this is what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, if Sade's getting in and Luther Vandross and, like I say, MC Light and Queen Latifah as early influences, then, you know, open the doors even further.
Absolutely. Well, in closing, just generally, what do you think about this year's class of inductees overall? How does it hit for you?
I mean, it's a nice class. I mean, you know, it's checking off some marks. Billy Idol, yes, finally. Iron Maiden, yes, finally. Oasis, yes, finally. Joy Division, New Order, yes, finally. It's important that they're in. You know, happy for something like Phil Collins, even though he's already got a trophy with Genesis. So, if he were not to be, I wouldn't have felt there was a gaping hole there. But it's nice. It feels like they're slow. When we make these lists of seemingly, certainly dozens and seemingly hundreds of rock acts that are still waiting to get the call, at least we've checked off a good four of them this year. So we're slowly getting there amidst all the other genres that the Rock Hall's honoring. So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a fun ceremony. You know, it's going to be a long ceremony, which may be why they're not doing it live. This year, but it's going to be a long ceremony with, you know, what do we have? The eight performers and five early influences, four musical excellences, one Ahmet Ertegun and a partridge in a pear tree. That's a long ceremony.
Oh, fantastic, man. Always good to chop up music with you. Anything, what do you have going on that you want folks to know about presently? What's happening in the world of Cary Grant that the
Yeah, right
world at
now, well.
large should know about besides the usual concerns?
Yeah, I was going to say it's a lot of the usual concerns. I don't know if we should alert the world that you and I are going to be running together in Detroit in a few days. I don't think we should alert, give the police a heads up
It's a
about
good
that.
advisory.
No, probably, but yeah, there's another book that's going to be announced soon, and you know, and some other projects. But you know, we're starting to get. I know you're feeling it too. We're starting to get. You can smell summer coming. And all the tours and all the albums. I mean, Record Store Day this week. Always,
Absolutely.
always a good time. Always a good time to watch other people doing it.
All right, Cary Grant, always a pleasure. We will talk more and I will let you run out the door. Thank you so much, good sir.
All right, you have a great day and thanks for having me.
We've reached the end of another episode of the UCR podcast. It is Matt Wardlaw. We appreciate you listening. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please rate and review wherever you are listening and hit subscribe so that you'll receive future episodes of the podcast from Ultimate Classic Rock.